वसुदेवस्य
ऑफ
द वाइफ ऑफ वसुदेव देवक्याम इन द वूम्ब ऑफ देवकी जातः बॉर्न ऑफ भोज इंद्र ऑफ द किंग ऑफ द भोजाज बंधने इन द प्रिजन हाउस चिकिर्षु फॉर डूइंग भगवान द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड अस्य ऑफ द अर्थ सम वेलफेयर अजेन बाय ब्रह्मा अभियाचितः बीइंग प्रेड फॉर ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth. The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudev in the womb of his wife Devaki, in the prison of the king of The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudev in the womb of his wife Devaki, in the prison of the king of Bhoja. Purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Although there is no difference between the Lord's pastimes of appearance and disappearance, although there is no difference between the Lord's pastimes of appearance and disappearance, the devotees of the Lord do not generally discuss the subject matter of his disappearance. Vidura inquired indirectly from Uddhava about the incident of the Lord's disappearance by asking him to relate Krishna Katha or topics on the history of Lord Krishna. Thus, Uddhava began the topics from the very beginning of his appearance as the son of Vasudev and Devaki in the prison of Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas at Mathura. The Lord has no business in this world. It's very interesting. The Lord has no business in this world, but when he is so requested by devotees like Brahma, he descends on the earth for the welfare of the entire universe. The Lord has no business in this world, but when he is requested by devotees like Brahma, he descends on the earth for the welfare of the entire universe. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Om ajnanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakhaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मुखां करोति वचलं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेव
ओम नमो भगवते वास
वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया श्लोके भवतीर्नैष्टिकी
हरे कृष्ण सो टेक्स्ट 25 द ट्रांसलेशन सेज द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण बीइंग प्रेड टू बाय ब्रह्मा To bring welfare to the earth was begotten by Vasudev in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of king of Bhoja. So Srila Prabhupada writes here that usually the devotees do not discuss the subject matter of disappearance of the Lord. So why should we discuss that today? Rather, we should discuss the subject matter of appearance of the Lord. And why not? Because this verse and the next verse, it all talks about the appearance of the Lord. So we'll spend some time talking about the appearance of the Lord in the context of why does the Lord appear in this material world. Because Srila Prabhupada is saying here that the Lord actually has no business to appear in this material world. So it's not that he appears like us because of some, we have to exhaust our karmic bank balance. No? Therefore we are coming to this material world. He is beyond karma. So therefore, why does he appear in this world? And Srila Prabhupada concludes the translation here by saying, Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya dushkruta dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So we'll discuss why the Lord appears in this material world. So in this particular section, we see that this is a samvad or a conversation which is happening between two great personalities, two great devotees of the Lord. One is Uddhava and the other one is Vidura. So this is the conversation which is happening. So Vidura has gone on this pilgrimage where he meets Uddhava. Why Vidura has gone on a pilgrimage? Because he has come out of the palace of Hastinapur. He has been insulted by Duryodhan. And therefore he takes insult as an opportunity for detachment rather than thinking, oh, I am insulted, therefore let me take revenge on this fellow. That's the conventional thinking. But he takes this as an opportunity to detach himself from family matters and then go on pilgrimage. And as he goes on pilgrimage, he meets Uddhava. Now, Uddhava being a Rasika Bhakta, he is a pure devotee of the Lord. And Uddhava is a friend of the Lord. He is in Sakhyaras. And Uddhava is, as we discussed in one of the previous classes, Uddhava is only second to the gopis in terms of his proximity to the internal mood of Lord Krishna. He is only second to the gopis and the gopas. So, when Vidura is asking to Uddhava about Lord Krishna, Uddhava is overcome with emotion. So much emotion that Uddhava is unable to speak initially. So, he has to check his emotions to be able to talk. That's what happens when you love a person too much. When someone reminds you of that person, especially if that person has now left the world, then you feel choked up about talking about that person. So Uddhava is undergoing a similar emotion. Of course, it's not a mundane material emotion. He is going through bhava. He's going through that spiritual emotions. They are flowing through his mind and words are pouring out of his mouth. But when you are very emotional, then you are not logical. Right. In one sense, then you don't, it's not like a prepared class. Okay, step one, step two, step three, let me tell you about this, step four, let me tell you. No, that's logic. Whereas here, emotions can pour out in any order. Any order. Because it's very spontaneous, it's coming from the heart. Therefore, if you see these verses, the sequence of these verses, something very peculiar, that it's not following a very logical flow in one sense. For example, Uddhava is talking about the disappearance of the Lord. Then he's talking about the pastimes of the Lord. Then he's talking about the birth of the Lord. Then he's again talking about the qualities of the Lord. Then again he's coming back to the birth of the Lord. In that sense, it's going up and down. And that shows, then we can feel his heart, what he's going through right now. So this flow can give us some idea of the state of mind of Uddhava. So here, there are three reasons for the disappearance of, for the appearance of the Lord, which is given. Paritrana sadhunam, which means to protect the devotees, yeah, the sages. Vinashayacha dushkritam, to annihilate the people who are against bhakti. And dharma samsthapanartha, to establish the process of religion. So these are the three reasons which are given. However, if we understand, and we are very fortunate because we are under the movement not only of Lord Krishna, but we are under the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we extra special this is. So we understand that the Lord actually descends to enjoy rasa with his devotees. That's the most confidential reason for his coming down. And that doesn't really come out very clearly in this verse. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya. It's not only about protecting the devotees. It's the Lord also has a desire to have relationship, to enjoy loving relationships with his devotees. That is the supreme most reason why the Lord appears. Because actually, if the Lord wants to protect his devotees, he can just think that my devotees, may they be protected, and they will be protected. He doesn't have to really come down here. No? Because he's beyond geography. It doesn't mean that he has to travel and come to that place where his devotees are in danger. Therefore, there he has to protect. No, it's not like that. He can protect just by his desire. But still, why does he come down? So actually, the confidential reason is none of these three. Confidential reason is that he wants to enjoy rasa with his devotee. Because the Lord in Nectar of Devotion, Sri Rupa Goswami commences in the beginning by describing Lord Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the reservoir of all rasa, of bliss. So Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So that's the reason why he comes into this material world. So specifically in the next few verses, it talks about, especially the next verse, it's a very sweet verse, the next one also. It talks about rasa tattva. It talks about what is rasa. Specifically, it talks about this verse and the next verse. Talk about Vatsalya Ras. What is Vatsalya Ras? Vatsalya Ras is nothing but the mood of paternal affection for the Lord. So only a person actually who understands this reason of the Lord's appearance, this transcendental reason of the Lord's appearance, actually understands Lord Krishna, his internal mood. So, let us take an example. So, Srila Prabhupada talks about the appearance of the Lord for the purpose of rasa. So, recently, you know, we had Janmashtami. And in Janmashtami, and this year, you know, I happened to work on Janmashtami. Unfortunately, I couldn't take holiday. So, I was working from home. So, generally what happens in Janmashtami, someone comes and asks you, you know, that what is today's day? So, we say it's the appearance day of the Lord. So, oh, birthday of the Lord, is it? Oh, yeah, it's the birthday of the Lord. Oh, so you must be feasting today. Must be a party, mate. So we say, yeah, we are fasting. So that's our celebration of Lord Krishna's birthday. And still everyone is joyful on that day. So the person cannot understand. What is this? You're fasting on a birthday? You should be enjoying, mate. So people can't understand this. Okay. Then they start asking, especially people who are unaware of the intricacies of Lord Krishna's appearance, they ask these questions. Can you tell me who is Lord Krishna exactly? So he says, Lord Krishna is God, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says, so what's happening today? So Lord Krishna is, actually he was born today, on this day. So he says that he was born, to who was he born? Then you say, he was born to his parents, Vasudev and Devaki, who are his devotees. Hang on. Lord, we thought, is the supreme father of everyone. Now you are saying, you know, He is born to his devotees. So who are his devotees? The God's parents? So we say, no. Devotees are also God's children. He says, no, now I am confused. I can't understand now. No. It goes beyond. No. So this is very strange. Because, and then ultimately, but ultimately I thought everyone was God's children. No. So I can't understand this. So this is very strange. I was hearing in one lecture, in Ireland, one of our devotees had gone to meet the local sheriff. This is to seek permission, like our Bhakta Prabhu works so hard to get permission for this Jagannath Rath Yatra, because of which we are all able to get the benefit. So like that, this person had gone to the local sheriff to get permit for Jagannath Rath Yatra. So the sheriff was asking, okay, hang on, what are you guys going to do here? We are going to pull a cart. Okay, then he said, and what else are you going to do? We are going to sing, we are going to dance. Then he said, okay, what are these three things here? So the devotee said, this is God. The black personality. This is God. Who are the other two? That is his brother and sister. He says, what? So he couldn't understand. He was completely bewildered. So the point is, to the so-called intelligent personalities in this world, materially intelligent, logical personalities, these things smack of something mundane. He says, this is mundane. I mean, you are just imposing a mundane relationship of father, mother, brother, sister, because we are already living in a disjointed society. Yesterday we were discussing some katha in Point Cook, and we were discussing this, that today's society is anyway getting disjointed, Brother cannot tolerate sister, sister cannot tolerate brother, father cannot tolerate child, child cannot tolerate parents. So all relationships, husband, wife, certainly every most of them will agree. Right? Devote spouse for the financial year, we were discussing in the tax form. So relationships are going for a toss. Okay. So now when you are saying relationship, God comes for relationships with people, then they think, I can't relate to this because relationships are so bad in this material world. So therefore, relationship means something mundane. Therefore, God, when he comes for relationship, that cannot be true. Because he is supra-mundane. So at least that much some people have understanding. But they cannot understand this relationship is different than the relationship of the material world. So there are so many misconceptions. So we'll have to explain to the common man what is the nature of Lord's appearance. So there was a book recently, and people are very skeptical about all these things. Unless one studies Srimad Bhagavatam, one will always remain skeptical about Krishna consciousness. Just by reading Bhagavad Gita also sometimes it's not enough. One has to read Srimad Bhagavatam, study Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is this book called as Philosophical Gym, which was released some years back, where the author of that book puts an objection. He asks, and he's targeting the Vedas. He's saying, who holds the universe? So in the Vedas, it is mentioned the concept of Diggaja. Diggaja means there are huge elephants which are holding up this universe. So he says that, and in each elephant is in one direction, the Vedas says. So like that, they are holding up the universe, holding on their head. So then he says, okay, it's very good, but who holds the elephants then? So then we say, the elephant stands on a giant tortoise. Then he says, that's also very good, but where does the tortoise stand then? So this is kind of trying to understand, sitting on this tiny earth, a tiny part called as Melbourne, inside that a tiny suburb, inside that one tiny house, inside that one tiny room, inside that one tiny man is sitting, and trying to materially understand through his intellect how the cosmos is supported. It's not possible, because we are infinitesimal spirit souls. So it's not possible. And when we get frustrated that we are not able to understand, then we start speculating. So there was one pastime recently I heard about Harisauri Prabhu. Harisauri Prabhu was walking with Srila Prabhupada. It was a morning walk. And some devotees came up with some English word. And actually Srila Prabhupada came up with some English word. And he said, I heard this word. Can anyone tell me what is the meaning of this word? So everyone started asking each other, do you know the meaning? Do you know the meaning? So Prabhupada, what do you know? I don't know. Do you know? Prabhupada, I don't know.
Do you know? Well, I don't know. Finally, it came to Harisori Prabhu. Harisori, do you know? So Harisori Prabhu said, I'm not very sure about the meaning of this word, but I think, and before he could complete, Srila Prabhupada told him, if you don't know, you're a fool. Prabhupada said, if you don't know, you're a fool, and when you think after you don't know, then you're a rascal. So then, and this is a very good example, because when I heard this, I also understood why Prabhupada constantly talks fools and rascals everywhere. So fool means don't know, rascal means you don't know, now you're trying to speculate something. So this world is full of such speculators. But Prabhupada also says that, yes, we can be fool once, but we should not remain fool. Don't remain fool. So go to the acharyas, go to the enlightened personalities who have realized this knowledge. Tattva darshina. Go to Tattva darshis. So, in Bharata Bhumi, yesterday someone was asking me in the program that, you know, is it Bharata Bhumi in India? People say it's very holy. Why all the acharyas come only to India only? Right? So many people ask, why software engineers only come from India? If we can believe that, why acharyas cannot come from India? Right? But still that question came. How come only in India, you know, these acharyas, why they were not born in, you know, some Switzerland or somewhere? No? Because the answer is, again, I heard this in one class, a very good answer that the speaker gave, very good analogy. He said that India is Dharma Bhumi. Just like you go to the capital of any country, let's say India, you go to capital Delhi, for example, or you say Australia, you say Canberra, correct? Geography is very weak. So you go to Canberra, somebody will not say, why all the ministers are in one place only, appearing in Canberra only? Why they are not everywhere? Why they are not, you know, somewhere in Warrnambool or somewhere else, right? Why everyone, is it coincidence they are all in Canberra only? Like that. So, or why the headquarters of a big office are in one particular city? Like that. So people may ask like that. Why all the top management is in one building only? Something like that, they may ask. So, this is because this enables ease of bureaucratic control of business. And this enables easier management. So therefore they are in one place. And from that one place, then they are governing the entire business all over the globe. So it was one very simple example, but it helps understand. As to India being Dharma Bhumi, it's the headquarters of spirituality. So therefore, these people are descending. India is a place which is concerned with religion, which is concerned with truth and love of God. So, from the acharyas, then we come to know that the Lord is actually unborn. He is Aja. Aja means unborn. So, yet others, people think that if God comes from a human being, then the human being is the cause of God. So an interesting analogy is that if we are going to a beach, if we go to the sands of the beach and if we find a wristwatch while digging the sand, we will not conclude that wristwatches appear from sand. Right? So this is like saying just because you see the immediate cause of some appearance, then we conclude saying that yes, God is also coming from human beings. So it's not like that. However, despite all kinds of reasoning, God is still unpopular to many people in this world. Why God is unpopular? Because people want to live with their conscience. Therefore, they want to keep the subject matter of God away. So even sometimes when people are convinced, they will not chant. Or they will still not try to think much about God. Because the moment you think about God, then your mind tells you, you're obliged to behave yourself. And people don't want to do that because it impedes their freedom of doing whatever they want. Right? So therefore, people still keep the subject matter of push it. Oh, no, okay, fine, all that is fine, but I don't want to think about it now. Kamsa is one example of that. So who is coming in the verses? This is classic Kamsa mentality. So he had imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki. The voice had already proclaimed, Vishnu will come, the eighth child of your sister will come, cause your death, but still he wanted to turn a blind eye to that. He didn't want to think too much much about it. Of course, he was thinking in a very different way. He was afraid in that sense. So, since he was given, told about the eighth child, so every child, as soon as birth of the child happened, he started dashing the children against the rock without any impunity. No shame, nothing. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport, the 10th canto, this is the mentality of asuras. Asuras like to kill babies as well as cows. Now, cows we understand. Yes, the slaughterhouses are killing. How do we understand killing of babies? This in modern language is called as abortion. So, killing babies in the womb, abortion, is as good as taking the child and then dashing it against the wall. So, Prabhupada writes, gives very practical insights of how to understand these principles. Now, that is Kamsa on one hand. On the other hand is Vasudev and Devaki, who are in Vatsalyaras. Now, who are these devotees who see God as their child? Because technically, God is Parampita. And here is God's Pita, Vasudev. Again, very confusing to understand. So, as we mentioned before, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu opens with by definition of Lord Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. What is Akhila Rasamrita Murti? It means that the Lord is the emporium of all rasas. The word emporium is there. Emporium is what? Nowadays we don't have emporiums. Earlier in my childhood I used to hear so and so emporium. I used to go and buy clothes there. Nowadays we have malls. So today's for common man we can say it is the mall of all rasas. Super mall of all rasas. Like that. Now, then what is rasa? So, Srila Prabhupada gives a good example. He says that a merchant is very busy making money. He is working very hard in his business. All he wants is money. And when he sees his balance sheet and P&L account going up, then he gets some kind of a thrill. He gets some kind of a thrill by which he wants to do it again. More of that activity. Because that activity gives some kind of a pleasure by which we want to do more of that activity. Like that. However, and all of us also in one sense, corporate folks, we are also like that merchant. When we get some pat on our back from our boss, then we like to sit late on that day. And then when we get a kick from the boss, then we say, oh my God, why am I working? Let me better retire and go to Mayapur. Like that. So this world treats us like that. Now, the merchant, he's enjoying. He's enjoying his work. But at some point in time, even the most hardest working person says that, oh, I need a break now. And what does he do? He takes the money which he has earned and then he says, let's go to Las Vegas. Or let's go somewhere to Los Angeles, Santa Monica Beach. And let me go and enjoy. Or let me go to Hawaii and enjoy and come. In my office also, there are many people like that. Take vacationing in Hawaii and whatever. So they enjoy. But can you enjoy forever in Hawaii? After 2 weeks, 3 weeks, in my childhood I remember I had gone to a place called Panchgani in Maharashtra. I went for 1 week. After that I didn't know what to do in that place. So I said, no, let's go home now. I'm missing home now. Enough of this picnic, right? So in this material world, we can't even enjoy unlimitedly. It becomes boring after some time. The same thing. You can watch cricket. Okay, one match, two match. But after some time, I stop the television. Enough of that. Even for this famous, when I used to watch lawn tennis in my childhood, there was this person called as Bjorn Borg. Okay, he was the world tennis champion. It is said that Bjorn Borg got so many awards, but he got so fed up of tennis that towards the end of his life, but towards the end of his career, he said that I don't want to see the tennis racket. Despite all the glory that sport gave him, he still can't see that. So this is the nature of mundane material rasa. So in Nectar of Devotion, this is contrasted. Mundane material rasa, whereas that spiritual rasa, where happiness never ends. You always want more and more. It is not like the principle of the material world, which is called as bhoga tyag. Bhog means enjoy. Tyag means stay away from it. Again enjoy. Again stay away from it. Again enjoy. Again stay. Bhog tyag. Bhog tyag. This is material mundane rasa. Whereas in spiritual rasa, there is no saturation at all. So that is the rasa that the Lord comes to enjoy with his devotees. And when the devotees see Lord Krishna, they are also enjoying unlimited amount of that rasa. So much so, they enjoy this rasa that they are completely oblivious to all the problems that the material world gives them. So this is pure devotion. For example, some people ask us, don't you get bored of chanting this every day? Hare Krishna, in my office somebody, 2 hours every day, huh? Wow, and he's supposedly South Indian Brahmin. So he's saying, I chant once a year, you know, that Avaniya Vattam, that thread ceremony, Poonal, that ceremony comes and they tell me chant 1008 Gayatri. And I said, it's impossible, I told my father. One day chanting 1008 times Gayatri mantra, impossible. And then you people say 16 rounds. And he asked me, how much is one round? And he said 108. Then he asked me, what is then how much is the chanting? And he started calculating. Obviously, I immediately removed the Microsoft calculator. I forgot. I told him so many times we are chanting. How much time it is? 1000 something, 700 and 728. 1728 times. And he was shocked. He said, every day? You don't get bored? No. We don't get bored. No. Right? Same Jaya Radha, Madhav, Kunja Bihari. Same Jaya Jaya, Gorachandar. It never, never gets boring. And then suddenly I started thinking, actually, you know what? I've been chanting since so many years. When did I become a devotee? Every day I've been chanting 16 rounds. And even I was shocked. I never got bored. So there is something transcendental. If you just say, for example, Adolf Hitler, Amitabh Bachchan, Tom Cruise. How can you say? Even these are personalities whom people may adore, right? Asuras as well as, you know, these personalities. But still, how many times can you chant these names? You'll feel bored. But Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Go on chanting. There's no end. Right? So somebody was asking in this program yesterday about knowledge. With knowledge, can we understand? No. With only knowledge of this mantra, we can't. We have to have realization by chanting. Then we will understand that this is not boring. But for that, one needs realization. Of course, I'm not having that realization. I'm also struggling with chanting, but still, from the acharyas we understand, who are realized, that there is, eventually this leads to more and more and more churning of that rasa. So, in Nectar of Devotion, this Vatsalya Ras, which specifically, you know, Devaki and Vasudeva are experiencing, it is defined as ecstatic love which solidifies into parenthood. Ecstatic love which solidifies into parenthood. But first of all, the love has to be ecstatic. Otherwise, it will not solidify at all. So, it's not an official love. I love you, you love me, we have a contract, we are married for the next few years, till, you know, each of us get fed up with one another. No, it doesn't work like that. There's nothing official about this love. It's not that love is, it's not that the relationship is out of fear, bhai, or it is out of asha, hope, oh, one day the Lord will protect me. It's not out of kartavya buddhi, oh, it's my duty to worship God. You know, after all, it's our duty. He's providing us so many things. No. It's not out of any of these three. It's out of love. It's very spontaneous. It's just like the Prabhupada says, the closest it comes is the relationship between mother and child. Mother doesn't feed the child out of duty or out of fear. Oh, tomorrow the child will not take care of me when I am old. Mother doesn't think like that. It's simply love. Whatever way the child may behave. Whatever way, Lord, you may treat me, I am your servant unconditionally, birth after birth. So this is love. This is rasa. So Srila Prabhupada says, such devotees do not go to God to ask for their daily bread. Now, this rasa, is Srila Prabhupada writes, is a gift. This rasa is awarded to us. This realization is awarded to us. This love is awarded to us for our sincerity in our devotional practice. So, In the cell of Kamsa's prison house, the eighth child has been born. Now, it's something interesting is happening here. Now, when the eighth child is born, Lord Krishna has just appeared in that prison house. And how has he appeared? In the four-handed form. So, the moment Devaki and Vasudev are seeing the Lord's form, they are practically at a loss for words. So beautiful, so effulgent, so reassuring is the Lord's form. So, it is mentioned there that Devaki was not pregnant in the mundane sense of pregnancy. How usually, you know, because of Mithuni Bhav, here Matajis get pregnant mostly in the material world. But this was not like that. Actually, the Lord appeared in Vasudev's heart. And then he appeared in Devaki's womb. And at the same time, he was outside of Devaki's womb also. So this is inconceivable again to most people. This aspect of existence of the Lord, within and without. So in the Isopanishad, text 5 also, there is one nice verse which says, Tad ejati, tad naijati, tad dure, tad vantike, tad antarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasyasya bahayata. So this is the text 5 of Isopanishad, where it is mentioned, the Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but yet he is very near as well. He is within everything and yet he is outside as well. So, that's Isopanishad. Also, we see in Vasudev's prayers, if you see Vasudev's prayers and Devaki, they are in an ascension of rasa in one sense. So, if you we study the 10th canto, the 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, initially, when they see the Lord, Vasudev and Devaki, actually they are talking lofty philosophy. They are talking about the godhood of God. Initially, it all starts like that. First Vasudeva starts and Devaki also starts glorifying the Lord. That who the Lord ultimately is, creator, protector, all that goes on. But ultimately, because Vasudeva and Devaki are ecstatic Vatsalya Rasika Bhaktas. In that sense, ultimately the truth comes out. Eventually the heart, the feeling of the heart comes out. So, they cannot do it after some time. Talking about the Godhood of Godhead. So, then suddenly Devaki starts praying that, oh, my dear Lord, Kamsa will kill you. And this will not make sense to a logician outside. He says, no, hang on. Just now you are saying that the Lord is death personified, nobody can kill, he is the source of everything. And now you are praying for his welfare. Saying that, no, please you go back because Kamsa will come and kill you. So, the Vatsalya Rasa of the devotee is coming out spontaneously here. It cannot be hidden for a long time. Even if the prayers are starting in that way. So if we study those sequence of those prayers, it gradually moves into spontaneity, into the realm of rasa. Now, there are two types of devotees who do not know Lord Krishna. One are the Bahirmukhis and other are the Antarmukhis. Now, it may be a bit surprising. How come you say that Antarmukhis do not know Lord Krishna? The Bahirmukhis do not know Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are envious, because they rebel. And the Antarmukhis do not want to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't want to know his Godhood. For them, simply, Lord Krishna is their son, or their boyfriend, or their husband, or their friend. Right? So, they had two classes of devotees. So, the materialists also do not know, and the purest Rasika Bhaktas also do not want to know of his Godhood. In one sense, they are always in a state of denial of his Godhood, because it comes in the way of their loving relationship with the Lord. So, Vatsa, Vatsalya Ras comes from the word Vatsa. Vatsa means a child or a calf. And Vatsalya is actually the sweet relationship between the cow and the calf. That's where the word originates from. So, in chapter 10, text 8, 45th verse, Sri Rupa Goswami quotes that particular section in Nectar of Devotion, where he describes the state of affairs in Vatsalya Ras. It says, that person who the Vedas describe as the king of heaven, who the Upanishads and the other texts describe as the impersonal Brahman, that Lord who the philosophers talk as the supreme male, that Lord who the yogis understand as the super soul, that same Lord, Mother Yashoda understands simply as her son. So there are so many aspects of God and how people understand. So this is Vatsalya Ras. And this Bhaumi Vrindavan is nothing but a prototype. The Lord descended here to give us a prototype of that Vatsalya Ras. And then therefore, when we study these pastimes, when we take part in these pastimes of the Lord in Bhaumi Vrindavan, then the desire comes to go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, there is no desire to exit the material world at all. So, this Vatsalya Ras covers these devotees so much so that it is in one sense peculiar to understand the mind of Mother Yashoda. So, Mother Yashoda, there are some snippets. For example, Yashoda Maya is saying that actually, you know what? Lord Krishna did not kill Putana. He is such a small child. You are saying that he sucked the breast of Putana and then, you know, how can he kill? It is my baby. Actually, it is me and my husband. Because we worship Lord Vishnu. Therefore, then Lord Vishnu protected my child, my baby. Kanha, Kanaiya. He protected. Also, when it comes to the Damodar Leela, she is saying, I strongly feel that it was the strong wind which broke those two trees. Otherwise, how can my son, you know, do all these things? And when it comes to Govardhan Leela, that is ultimate. He says that actually it is my husband who lifted that. How can this boy lift, you know, Govardhan Hill? So these are conversations which are happening. Now you may say, hey, hang on, you know, I know more than you. Because I have studied, you know, Srimad Bhagavata, my Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, you know, whatever. You know, we can say all those things. But no, we don't know anything. Because in the realm of love, which we don't have in our hearts, despite all our study of Bhagavatam, at least I do not have, right? In the realm of love, facts and logic doesn't work. They don't matter. So, in Vatsalya Ras, one has to be situated firmly in the mindset that the Lord needs protection. So no Vatsalya Rasikas go to the Lord and beg for protection. That we do in other rasas. In Dasya Ras one may do that. And typically in the material world we always do that. We go always when there is some problem. We rush to the Lord. Oh, please protect us. So this Rasika Bhaktasan we learned very soon. So Rupa Goswami talks about three kinds of Vatsalya Bhaktas who are in Vatsalyas. The fathers, mothers and the teachers. Primarily, the fathers, mothers and teachers of Lord Krishna, they are the ones in Vatsalyas. So examples are given. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mata, Rohini, the elderly gopis who were participants in the Brahma Vimogan Leela. So they all had a deep desire to have Lord Krishna as their child. So when Brahma took away, he hid all the gopas, then Lord Krishna manifested as each and every gopa in the house of these mothers. So they got an opportunity then, through that pastime the Lord fulfilled their desire to have him as their son. So they felt more love for their son than what they had already felt before, when Lord Krishna appeared as in the external form of their sons. So that they are called as Vatsalya Rasikas. Devaki, 15 other wives of Vasudev, Kunti, Mata, Sandipani Muni and Vasudev. All of them are called as Vatsalya Rasika Bhaktas. Now, I'll end this class by just reading something which is very wonderful, which Srila Prabhupada writes about this rasa. So this is from 10th canto, 9th chapter, text 3. Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Where is it? Oh, you have it? Ready? Oh, thank you very much. So here, the mood of Vatsalya Ras is very nicely coming down. So let's read this. Dressed in saffron yellow sari,
with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and Malati flowers were falling from her hair. Such a beautiful description of Mother Yashoda. And Prabhupada writes a very nice purport here. Very powerful purport. Very brief, yet very insightful. Srila Prabhupada writes, anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection, anyone who desires to be in Krishna consciousness in motherly affection or parental affection, should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. So Prabhupada is saying we should not try to become like them. Like, for example, when during Srila Prabhupada's Leela, Prabhupada went to this Dai Nippon Press. There, he met all the management over there for publication. And finally, when everyone had left, one person stayed behind for negotiations. And after the negotiation, Srila Prabhupada asked him, actually, what is the goal of your life? So what he did was, he simply took out all the visiting card of his bosses. And he kept them on the table. And finally took out his visiting card and he put it right on top of that. Because in this material world, we want to become our boss at the end of the day. But here, actual Vatsalya Ras, if one wants to develop, Srila Prabhupada is saying, then the mood should be that we must meditate on Mother Yashoda, but always try to aspire to be the servant of her servant. So this is real Rasika Bhakta. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions, comments, or corrections? So in Bhagavad Gita, 15.15, what is that verse? Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtho maddah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. So the Lord Krishna says that from me comes remembrance also, and from me comes forgetfulness also. So for the purpose of rasa, the Lord can at any point in time give others remembrance and forgetfulness. What to speak of others, he can give himself also forgetfulness whenever he wants. Does it make sense? He does it on himself also. Yoga Maya knows exactly how to serve him. When does the Lord want to forget his Godhood? And immediately Yoga Maya knows also when the Lord wants to now remember his Godhood. So it acts on the Lord as well as his devotees. So that is how we will find in these pastimes, that for the purpose of the pastime, then devotee, even the Rasika Bhakta can come out of that and then again go back into that. Again come out whenever required, go back. It's like that. That's a part of the Leela. In fact, in one sense, if you see, if one doesn't come out of the Godhood of God,
sorry, one doesn't remember the godhood of God, then coming out of the godhood of God is not as sweet as it would be. Suddenly you are praying to the Lord. For example, there is this Andal. I don't know whether you have heard of Andal. Andal is, there were Alvars in South India. Just like our Goswamis, in Sri Sampradaya, the equivalent of Goswamis is called as Alvars. So one of the Alvars was Andal. Andal was the only female Alvar. Alvars are none other than the paraphernalia of the Lord, who have incarnated in this material world to taste pastimes with Lord Narayana, with Lord Ranganath in Srirangam, like that. So this Andal's father was actually, he always wanted to be in a Malakar. His only desire was to be a Malakar. He was very deeply inspired by one personality. I think his name was Sudama. This is not this Sudama, but there was one more Sudama on the other side, who was a Malakar. And he actually gave the garland to Lord Krishna when he was going into the wrestling arena, like that. So he always meditated on that personality, and he wanted to always make malas, which in one sense is like, you can call it as a dasya with sakya, in one sense. I want my friend to look good, and he's going into the wrestling arena. So he was somewhat in that mood all the time. But what happened was, this Vishnu Chittar, he was not a very scholarly person. He never studied, he never had all these degrees, of study. He was a very simple hearted person, full of affection for the Lord. So the Lord decided that I want to glorify this person. So one day, the king over there, he ordered a debate of all the scholars, scholarly persons. And the Lord came in Vishnu Chitta's dream and said, you also go and participate. And Vishnu said, what do I know about philosophy? I am simply Malakar. I don't know all these complicated tark, vitark, the intricacies of Krishna of philosophy. I have not studied the Isopanishad. So he prays. So Lord says, you don't worry. You go there, I'll speak through your tongue. So he says, okay. Because devotees are not afraid. At the end of the day, if Lord wants to make us a joker, we will be a joker. Doesn't matter what others think, right? As long as he is happy. So he goes. And when he goes, to cut a long story short, he goes there and actually he's, the Lord starts speaking something through him, and the gift which is meant for the winner actually falls automatically into his lap. And when everyone sees that, they think, God, this is a great scholarly person who has come. Because he says something and then it catches the attention of the king. It just wins over his heart, and the gift also automatically falls down. Now what is happening is that everyone is in awe and reverence of Vishnu Chittar. So all of them are paying obeisances to him. The Lord Krishna has organized the the king has organized an elephant procession. In South India, it's an honor if you can sit on an elephant and then you can, you go on a procession. So they are giving him this kind of an honor, and Vishnu Chittar is going now. There is a small throw, palanquin on an elephant, and Vishnu Chittar is sitting and everyone is throwing flowers on him. And then as he's going out, then Lord Narayana is appearing on his Garuda, giving darshan to Vishnu Chittar. Now the moment, let's put ourselves in that situation, even if in the rare occasion that it happens. So when you see Lord Narayana, what's your immediate mood? Especially when you are a Malakar, little bit of Dasya is also there. What is the general mood? To pay obeisances immediately to the Lord. Oh, my dear Lord Narayana, you appeared. Oh, please accept my humble obeisances. But what does Vishnu Chittar do? He looks at Lord Narayana and he blesses Lord Narayana. In Tamil, it says, Niduri Varga. Means, oh my dear Lord, may you live long, long, long. May you have a very long life. He's blessing. Now, what kind of mood is this? Immediately then, the rasa itself changes from Dasya to Vatsalya, intense Vatsalya. And then his constitutional position is coming out at that point in time. So, sometimes rasas can change here and there. But that just to increase the sweetness of that particular pastime. Does it make sense? Stop here because we are already 8:40. So I have gone overboard. Sorry about that. Maybe we can have any questions offline. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Nitai Gurkha.